Hey, it's the Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 107 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. 107, a new record. It's an old TMNT joke. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan something Michael. I don't know. Something like that, but he's here.
I'm here. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, but it's going. Today is the 107th day of summer. This means it is the final day of summer for now. So this ends our 9.5 year journey.
Wow.
Yeah. 2016 to whatever the hell year this is. 2025. I don't remember what day it is, let alone what year. And of course, today is the day we find out all about the Alka files. So, Michael, are you ready to jump on a roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Yes. Yes, I am.
The Alka files. Oh, boy.
Boy.
Yeah.
Extra long. Mm-hmm. Four episodes, if you count all four parts. Alka files.
Technically, it's five acts, but yeah.
No,
six. There's a prologue. That's six. Shit.
What the heck?
But on Disney Channel, it is split up into two parts. Not Disney Channel. Disney Channel doesn't exist. Well, it does. But this on Disney Plus, it's split up into two 25, 26-minute episodes. So essentially two half-hour. It's an hour long, folks. Without commercials, it's probably 40 something minutes.
Yeah, sure. It goes on for quite a while.
Yeah. But it didn't feel like it. I mean, it didn't feel like the two.
Did you not feel every agonizing moment?
No, not really.
Yes, I did.
The only time I felt agonizing is anytime the bugs were on screen. I don't care how awesome J.K. Simmons is. I love J.K. Simmons. I don't care how awesome he is. Get rid of those damn bugs.
J.K. Simmons is amazing. I want to say that was Josh Gad.
Oh, God. You can get rid of him, too.
Yeah.
Get rid of him completely. Josh
Gad. It was like, oh, look, I've been impaled. Like, over.
Yes, Wendell. Yeah, Wendell is Josh Gad, and then Napoleon is Tim is Simmons. Floyd is. So you can keep two out of the three. But really, like overall, the concept of the bugs, like the whole idea of them, you can throw the idea out. But as far as the characters, you can keep Stephen Root as Floyd. You can keep J.K. Simmons as Napoleon. Josh Gad and his Wendell can just jump into the Grand Canyon, never to be seen again. I literally just blocked Josh Gad on every social media platform I have because I can't stand that guy. I hate him.
Is it just his voice?
Everything that comes out of that guy's mouth is so annoying to me.
It all sounds like Small Snowman Guy. Yeah.
No, it's everything not. It's not even about that. Not even about that. It's just everything he says.
You know what's weird? He was in a series about his girlfriend being a werewolf.
Oh my God.
It was actually really entertaining. I enjoyed it. And after a while, I actually forgot it was Josh Gad. I was like, holy cow, he doesn't sound like that all the time. I mean, it's what Pee Wee Herman is like at the end of the Pee Wee Herman movie. He's like, paging Dr. Herman. Dr. Herman front desk. He's like, he doesn't sound like Pee Wee Herman all the time. What?
And the funny thing is, you say paging Dr. Herman. All I can think of is paging Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
Howard. Page doctors anymore. That's sort of a thing that went away a long time ago.
Yeah, you kids today, you Gen Z people, wouldn't understand that.
They just don't page doctors. But yeah, they don't page anybody anymore.
Nope.
There's no paging system.
There's no beepers. There's no beepers here.
Elementary schools still have them, by the way, you know?
Really?
Like, yeah, they do that all the time. They, you like over the intercom, it'll pop in. Come down to the office. like, what? Where did that come from? What is that?
Yeah, but your kids are in high school, almost college now. How do you know about what elementary schools are you going to these days?
My wife is a principal.
Oh, that's right. She's a principal. That's right.
In fact, in a couple of weeks here, I'm going to be the Easter Bunny at her elementary school, which is not nearly as much fun as you'd imagine. Just to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Being Santa is cool, but Easter Bunny, not so much.
Yeah. All I can think of is you're the Easter rabbit that loaned Bugs Bunny his eggs. Oh, that stupid rabbit forgot a Easter. you're the brown rabbit from Easter Yeggs, the old Looney Tunes short where you loan Bugs Bunny your eggs, and that stupid rabbit, he forgot an egg, and it blows up in the bunny's face, and Bugs at the end of it is like, remember, Doc, keep smiling. Oh, God.
Anyway.
Alka-files. Yes, Alka-files.
Something about Alka-files. Yeah, so, I mean, how should I put this? I believe that the insects, right, they were in a show earlier as part of, like, a sea story for whatever reason. And they liked them so much they wanted to try to spin them off into their own thing. So instead of being their own thing, because I don't think the three of them could hold up a show on their own,
no,
they end up doing extensive cameos in this show, this hour-long special.
Yep.
But I'm going to take this a step further and say this entire thing is a spinoff, because they said, you know, we love Perry so much, we think we're going to spin him off into his own show.
Yep.
And, you know, we have to give him supporting characters, and we're going to throw Doof in there because, yeah, he's an ocelot, of course. Yeah, sure. Sure he is. I don't think I like Phineas and Ferb without Phineas and Ferb.
It's kind of like if you watch an entire. Okay, so right now, as of this recording, we have Tales of the Jedi. We have Tales of the Sith. They just announced Tales of the Underworld for Star Wars Animation. Okay. Where you got Cad Bane and Asajj Ventress. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. You can focus on those, like Cad Bane, Asajj Ventress. You can have those be the focus of Tales of the Underworld, but you still have the other Star Wars characters. You don't. Same thing with the comics, with whatever. But my point is, like, you don't just have Darth Vader doing Darth Vader stuff without any other character showing up. Like, I was surprised. The end of this, I was like, what the hell are they doing there? I didn't think this was their universe anymore. Literally, I was shocked. Just up. Like
they just showed up.
I was like,
but here's the difference, though. You can have Cad Bane carry six episodes of a spinoff series, right? Because he's a really interesting character, and he talks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And but here you have, you know, Phineas and Ferb has an A story and a B story. The A story is the boys. The B story is Doof and
the animals.
Perry.
Yep.
Doof and Perry, right? In the A story, they talk. Ferb says one line per episode, but they talk.
Yeah.
And in the B story, Doof does most of the talking, you know, and occasionally you've got a Norm thrown in there. But it's okay if Perry doesn't utter a word except for that chittering noise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here you have an A story where it's all animals. And they don't talk. And there's
Maggie the macaw kind of talks.
That was the best part, actually. Yeah. but that's like the exception to the rule. It's like, well, that was the best part. It was when Maggie started talking. But it's not an A story.
No, it's not.
It's not an A story. And then the B story is the bugs, which gouge out my eyeballs. They talk, but they're annoying as hell. And the funny thing is, some of the best scenes were these bugs getting smashed by a fan, and I was like, the fan drops on them and they splatter everywhere. Or they're in a peanut, and the peanut flies into the fan and explodes, and there's peanut butter everywhere. And it's like, and he goes, and it's a good thing we jumped out of there just before that peanut hit the fan. I mean, that I thought I laughed. Because I thought they died.
Yeah, I laughed at the things that happened to them. Yes. But when they were on screen having most of the vocal time during the scenes that the bugs had, I'm like, shoot. It's like Daffy. It's like the old Bugs and Daffy rabbit duck. Shoot me now.
Yeah, no, someone's gonna get shot.
Wait till you get home. No, don't wait till you get home. Shoot me now. I just don't like Doof and the animals. I kind of get. Yeah, you're right. Most of the animals don't talk, with the exception of Maggie the macaw, which is fine. Yeah. Harry the hyena, I can kind of give a little bit, a very, very small half of a fraction of a microsecond of a pass, because he's kind of just doing stuff and then just laughing about it. But he still gets the job done.
How much personality is conveyed?
Not much.
Honestly, I didn't get any personality of Harry the hyena. I mean, occasionally he was like, you know, like you said, he laughed and kind of like made his opinion known, but there was no progression there.
Yeah.
The cat. At the very end, the cat became a ninja. I don't understand. I'm like, what, really? Is that character progression? ? I don't think it is. It's kind of a weird how the turns table at the end. And yeah, it's like suddenly the cat's hyper focused and a ninja. So yeah, all right, I can kind of get that. I like it. I kind of wish we saw this type of enthusiasm from this character for the last hour.
I kind of wish Michelle Pfeiffer would show up in a voiced Karen, because that would have made it at least a little sexy. But it is what it is. But
meow.
Meow. But so it's been roughly this November. Yeah, this November will be 4 years since my late wife Karen died. And most of the time I don't get triggered when I see characters named Karen kind of thing. And this one is just like, really, you guys? And I get it. They produced this. They made this way before.
Yeah. Several years.
January 15th of 2016. A year, almost a year and 7 months before I even met Karen. Which is fine, but it's one of those things where I actively never saw this when it originally debuted in 2016. Oh. I had never seen this ever. This is the first time I'd ever watched this. Uh-huh. And because I just figured, we do a lot of background stuff, and sometimes we pull that into the podcast and sometimes we reveal that, which I'm doing now. Sure. Like, we were trying to decide, do we want to do Alka-Files and then Last Day of Summer, or do we want to... And I'm like, well, Alka-Files is kind of like this...
Separate.
It's this separate tacked on, and I don't mean tacked on in a bad way, but it's this tacked on episode showing you that Doof is now good, which Doof went good in Last Day of Summer. So this technically... Yeah. Follows that the continuity nut that I am, wanted to keep the continuity of it, but at the same time,
this isn't even a Phineas and Ferb show. I think
that
more like a pilot for another show.
It's a backdoor
that didn't make it.
Yep,
it just didn't have legs. It's a I had some laugh out loud moments.
Yeah,
I really did, but I didn't enjoy it. Like I enjoyed Phineas and Ferb. I don't think that non-talking animals that don't emote, you know, that have little to no character development, does not make a TV show. Let alone an entire half an hour. And it's like, because you get, and also you need, if Doof isn't going to be the bad guy, you need to introduce new bad guys. So it's like, were they just going to bring out a bad guy of the week? Which is kind of the exact opposite of what you would expect from a Phineas and Ferb show, because Phineas and Ferb is all about repetition. It's these weekly in-jokes that you're used to. I mean, and granted, they probably could have had more in-jokes, like, I don't know, the hyena laughs and rolls his eyes. Okay, mark that down. That happened this week again. But, you know, it's like, where's your yes, yes, I am. Where's your, hey, where's Perry? Where's your, you know, these, you know, in jokes that happen every week. Where's the repetition? And you don't get that when you, you know, and honestly, I wouldn't want to see Dr. Parenthesis every week because that would, he's just, not a good character.
He was a good character?
No, that reveal at the end was like terrifying. No,
that that's my point.
In
that's,
a good way. I really I was like, what the hell?
That's Dr. Parenthesis, Parentheses. That's right. Dr. Parentheses, which is funny because Karen, my Karen loved everything. My Karen loved using parentheses for everything. But it's one of those things where, okay, I get it. You want a big name for your new villain to do. Like, you've got Dr. Doofenshmirtz on the good side, like we already said. You know, you want to get a big, who was the, was it John O'Hurley who played another, whoever played another, like, if you get Dee Bradley Baker to do a different, like, obviously Dee Bradley Baker is the is the chirping of Perry, is the voice of Perry.
Chitter.
But I'm saying, like, you get somebody, like, let's say J.K. Simmons wasn't a stupid bug. Let's say J.K. Simmons was an evil version of J. Jonah Jameson or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. J.K. Simmons as a bad guy would have been amazing.
Yeah. Oh, God. Have you ever seen...
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold the phone.
Yes, I'm holding my phone. Yes,
Paul Rubens was Parenthesis.
That's... I'm getting to that.
I'm quoting Pee Wee Herman. Did not realize Pee Wee Herman was in the show.
I'm getting to that.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm getting to that. So that's
funny.
That's the thing. So I didn't... That's the greatest thing about Paul Rubens. Unless you are paying attention to the mainstay character that he created and that he was known for most of his career and most of our lifetimes.
Yeah.
He flies under the radar.
Yeah.
You don't know. I didn't recognize. I was like, oh, parentheses, whatever. I'm like, oh, this is a very cool voice, very cool villain character up until that ending reveal, which we will talk about in a moment. But like, I was like, oh, cool. And Dan and Swampy, folks, you'll have to forgive me. This is episode 107 of the podcast. I'll have to go back to the other 106 episodes and re-listen to everything to see if Dan and Swampy have done this. But I don't think Dan and Swampy have done the thing where they take an arrow, giant letters, and say, you know, point at the character. Hey, kids, look, Mark Hamill, applause. Like, they don't do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they don't do that. So, like, but... even my ear trained to no voice, but that's the thing. The voice that I know coming from Paul Rubens is Pee-wee. It's not his normal voice. It's a voice that he put on for that character of Pee-wee Herman.
He had range.
Absolutely.
He was a comedic genius.
Yeah, absolutely he was. He was an amazing person. Unfortunately, we lost him 2 years ago in 2023. So the reveal comes to be that, like, the whole point of this Parenthesis wanting to take over Alka and get his revenge against Francis Monogram. Oh, my God, I swear. If he said his name one more time, I was going to just... he was a bug the whole... He was a tick. He was a flea the whole time. And I'm like...
He knew everybody in his class, and yet...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet Francis and yet Monogram didn't remember him at all. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this is going to be some sort of childhood bully. This is going to be some sort of, like, I wasn't expecting a flea. I wasn't expecting another bug. I was expecting, like,
yet another bug. You know, and it's funny that the bugs didn't, like, defeat.
Suss it out?
But the bugs would have, like became agents by defeating the bug villain.
Yeah.
You know, that would have tied the A story with the B story together and made sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it would have. But unfortunately, that's not what happened.
Well, the A story and the B story didn't tie together at all.
No. They careened off a cliff. But the A story went one side of the Grand Canyon. The B story went spiraling down the other side, never to meet in the middle again.
No, they kind of met in the middle in the form of the fan.
No,
when that fan landed on him,
yeah,
he's like Martin. Yeah. It's like Bug Nemesis. It's just fan. I laughed so hard when that fan hit him. It was a funny joke.
Yeah, funny joke.
Absolutely. I didn't hate it. It wasn't a complete waste of time, but it just wasn't great.
It's, yeah. And again, like we've said, this was...
It didn't have legs. Well, yeah, I'll go back to that. It didn't have legs. It could not have carried itself.
No. And I'm kind of glad it didn't. I'm kind of glad that it is its own thing that I don't know, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going to give out our Geekcast Radio email address in a moment. I don't know how many Phineas and Ferb fans now in 2025, or even in the last 5 years since 2020, 2019, whatever, how many people actually talked about the Alka Files. Everybody's always talking about, like we've talked about, Act Your Age, Last Day of Summer, Swinter, Meepless in Seattle. Name any other episode from the show. I never hear anyone talking about the Alka Files. Like, literally, I thought this was two 11-minute cartoons that were nothing. I did not realize this was almost an hour-long special that was...
I had like never we've seen said, it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as an hour long backdoor pilot special, it's not bad. But as we've already said, this was never gonna. This was not. Because again, like you said, Phineas and Ferb, it's a story, B story, sometimes C story, but basically A and B. Phineas, Ferb, and their friends, along with Candace and Jeremy and everybody else on the A side, Harry, Doof, Monogram, Carl, everybody else with Love Muffin on that side, on the B story side. And there are plenty of times in the last 9.5 years where we've found episodes that we reviewed that the story, the A and B story, didn't dovetail together and mingle together. That's fine. You don't have to have them dovetail together every time. We kind of get disappointed when they don't, but it's one of those things where at least it's a whole, like I said, I was not expecting to see. I figured, okay, this is the Alka Files. They're just doing the Doof and the Alka. We're not going to see the Flynn Fletcher family at all. And then the end, I'm like, oh, really?
It was a little stinger.
I was like, really?
But the end is a kind of a reminder that they blew up their house. You know?
Yeah.
they blew up their house. And there's this constant, you know, refrain of, oh, Alka's got cash now. You know, we have an obstacle course. We have a replica of the city. We've rebuilt the entire Flynn Fletcher home in a weekend, complete with a new pine tree.
Are these new plates? I mean, they look the same, but it feels as though they were replaced by exact copies.
Yes, and the tree in our backyard is now a pine.
And it's like, what? I really hope Carl's actually getting paid. You know,
they didn't even mention that.
Normally, that's it, Carl, the unpaid intern. We're not paying you, Carl.
We're not paying you, Carl.
Yeah, it's like the bad guys from the beginning, the bit players. You know, they didn't get overtime, but you'd think that they'd at least pay Carl.
Yeah, you'd think.
And I feel like in the budget for a new house.
Nope. And it felt like Carl was more of the boss than Monogram was this time. Major Monogram was the overall boss, but like every time something blew up, Carl was like, don't worry, it's in the budget. And don't I'm worry, like, really?
Yeah. Like, it's almost really? Like Carl. Yeah. Carl was like their manager, their direct supervisor.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Yeah. So now I'm like, am I missing an animal? There was the hyena, there was the cat, there was the bird.
Yep.
Is that it? That was it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, good. Because it's like I feel like there was like a character that was so unmemorable that maybe I just didn't remember them. You know, Harry the hyena, Maggie the macaw, Karen the cat. Oh, and Doof. Doof was technically one of them, but he was the one that talked. Okay, good. My gosh. Yeah, it's just
you can't forget the ocelot.
The ocelot. He was legally an ocelot. You've been raised by ocelots. Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to like it. I had moments where I laughed really hard. I was like, oh, that's really funny. But I don't think it was worth an hour.
No.
They honestly could have pulled the bugs out, you know.
Yeah.
Again, love J.K. Simmons. I don't know who Floyd was.
Floyd was Stephen Root from Office Space.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay, yeah, no, I know
Floyd
that.
Floyd was Milton.
Yes, Milton. You took my stapler.
Yep.
Believe you have my stapler. Yeah, but Josh Gad,
No, stop.
He's got an annoying voice, but if you discount that, then yeah, it was. You could have stripped out all the scenes. You could have stripped out the B story. If you had stripped out the B story, you would just have, you know, the animals that don't talk and have no character. And occasionally Doofenshmirtz being Doofenshmirtz.
Yeah.
And then would it have been better? Half an hour of just that without I don't know, maybe. I still don't think it would be something I'd want to watch on a weekly basis.
All is I gotta say is for this specific episode. Thank God.
You act like there's more. There's more.
Huh?
You act like there's more than with one.
No, I'm gonna say
there were two. But yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I'm counting it as one because
yeah,
it's not just okay. So just like Star Wars, just because Disney Channel splits it up doesn't mean Disney Plus. That's a Disney Plus thing. That's I don't know why they did. I don't like that they do that. I wish they wouldn't have done that.
So originally, it was a full hour.
But yeah, I'm sure. Probably, well, most likely.
When they split it up, though, they put little bumpers.
And that's fine.
Kind of neat. Sure.
Yeah, sure. I'm kind of glad this entire episode there is absolutely no mention, and she's not in the episode whatsoever. Vanessa's not here. Because this is a bad episode. This is
just, there's no Vanessa.
Yeah, no. Like we love Vanessa, obviously, but like putting her in here would just take her coolness down 1,000 points because this episode was not cool.
Or would it have raised the coolness of the episode?
Only if you took the bugs out. And that's an acceptable trade for me. You put Vanessa in here, you remove the bugs.
Okay.
That would make this episode good.
All right. So here's a thought. Here's a thought, right? You have Auka, right?
Uh-huh.
And Auka is run by Monogram and Carl.
Yeah.
But who else might be involved?
In Auka? Oh, Vanessa.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, at the time, Vanessa was dating
Johnny. Seth Green. Oh, yeah. So Monty, Monty.
Right.
Yeah.
Minor Monty. Minor Monogram.
Yeah, Minor Monogram.
Not Major Monogram, Minor Monogram.
Minor Monogram.
So she's dating Minor. Now, instead of having bugs, if the B story was Vanessa and Minor Monogram doing their own investigation, which eventually tied into the main investigation.
Yep.
Yeah. You see it?
Yeah. Right. I see it. Yeah.
But that again, I really think that this was supposed to have been we want a spinoff for the bugs is what they wanted. And then, oh, wait a minute. We also kind of want a spinoff for Perry.
Yep.
But neither one of them really worked out. Neither one of them separately worked out. Together, arguably, they didn't work out.
But, yeah, no, not at all.
But and, what if, you know, we have more, not just more talking characters, but characters that you like.
Yeah. Like, honestly, if you would have thrown, what's his name?
I'd have the same problem with Seth Green as I do with Josh Gad. It's like, ah, oh, that voice.
Though. No, yeah. Okay. Okay, you put Seth Green and Josh Gad on a scale of what I would rather prefer to deal with. Yeah. I will take Seth Green. Like, I
can deal with a lot of Seth Green. Yeah.
Yeah, I can deal with a lot. I cannot. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I don't like the guy. I don't like his acting. I don't like his voice. I don't like the way. Like, and I looked at his limited brutal. Filmography. Look, I'm sure there are plenty of people that are not going to listen to this podcast because my voice sucks. I get it. Don't get me wrong. But it's like there are probably 95% of the people that are here to hear you, not me. But
wow, really?
I'm just saying.
All three of them? Hi, Mom.
Well, technically that would be four. Your mother, your wife, your son, your other son.
Oh, they don't listen to this. Holy cow. Long after I'm dead, people will be like, I really want to know who my father was. I should go back and listen to his podcast. It's like, oh my God, now I wish I hadn't.
Oh my God. How can we use artificial intelligence to reconstitute our father to make sure we finish Rolled with Rescue Bots?
That's right. Roll the Rescue Bots back after 20 years.
Now with AI.
Now with a, we have an AI recreation of 5-year-old Aiden saying helicopter-tastic. Yeah, okay, that's adorable. You just keep saying things.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
It's you know what we ought to do? We ought to feed the entire 4-year run of Phineas and Ferb into an AI engine and see what kind of episode it comes up with. You ever see those memes where it's like,
yeah.
we took 10 years of this show, we stuck it into an AI engine, and here's the script for the first AI generated. And usually they're horribly off base, but they're hilarious.
Yeah.
Generative AI.
I think we need to do some more teaching to the artificial intelligence sometimes, because it ain't so intelligent all of the time these days. So.
You can't. I mean, so far from what I've seen, you can't make AI funny.
No.
You can tell it, you know, this is from a comedic standpoint, but what more often than not, it's funny because it's just like ridiculous. You know, it's like, wait a minute, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know what? What?
Yeah.
You know, it's not funny because they meant to be funny. It's funny because they screwed up in some way.
It's funny because you have to make it funny.
I don't know. You know, it's generally when you have comedy writers, they are funny people. It's
exactly,
it's not,
yeah.
It's not just an AI who is trying to you know, make something sound funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. The Alka Files, 0 to 5 with half points. What are you going to give it?
I'm more interested to see what you're going to give it, because after that last episode that you gave it the hatchet job. I was like really surprised, but it did not like that last one at all. And this one you have even less to like about it. So,
this is not
I'm
good.
Still leaning toward a 3 because, you know, I was entertained. I did laugh. I wouldn't want to see another one. I'm glad that it's a pilot that didn't get picked up, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I don't hate this episode.
Yeah.
I just think that this is the only time I will ever have watched this episode. Like,
well, yeah, would I watch it again? Me,
probably yeah, not. Well, yeah. No, not at all.
If I were to write fan fiction about it, would I include Minor Monogram and Vanessa? Yes. Yes, I would.
Well, yeah. Would I watch
read last my spec script, Dan? Read my spec script.
Yes, I think he has enough scripts right now. Would I watch Last Day of Summer again? Yes. My only, even though I gave that a low score at the time, my only real complaint about that is I wanted more from it other than just it being a time romp hop.
Yeah.
Where it was, that's really my, at the end of the day, that's my only complaint about that episode. That's the only reason why I gave it such a low score. And I'm going to give this probably the exact same score, 2.5, below average. Oof. And the only reason why Josh is because, can. No, has the negatives outweigh the positives. Not awful, but there's just too much meh to recommend. Maybe a redeeming quality or two, but overall, it leaves you wanting more. Now, this technically didn't leave me wanting more, because I will never watch this episode again. But
I don't want any more.
But, like, no our more, our ratings past 2.5, I don't think it does. I don't think it deserves, like, 2.0 is bad. Missed potential, poor execution, or lack of focus plagues this one. It fails in a bunch of areas, but not in a particular, in a spectacularly bad way. I don't think that's what this is. It doesn't, where this fails is, like we've already said, they tried to do a backdoor pilot for Perry and the Alka animals. And like you said already, without humans in the show, besides Doof, and again,
as a Transformers fan, it's hard to say that, you know?
What?
That you can't have a show without humans in it.
Okay. But there's a... Okay, no. Yeah, but huge difference between talking sentient... No. Talking sentient robots and animals that don't talk. Like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's like you can't have an entire movie with Bay Era Bumblebee because they don't talk. None of them talk. You know, they have to talk. They have to emote. They have to have some type of character arc, even if it's only minor growth over the course of an episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's got to be something there.
Yeah. And you said what, 3.0?
I'm leaning toward 3. I said, I didn't hate it. I don't wish I hadn't watched it. It didn't cause me brain damage. It just, you know, I didn't feel stupider after watching it.
Again, I think this is one of those, like, somebody added way too many commas. I love to podcast, and this is why I love to podcast. Insert word, comma, word, comma, word, comma, word, comma, word, comma. All these words that I'm mentioning in between these commas are all the words of the adjectives that you would explain to people why you like these word commas of why you love to podcast.
Okay. All right. So there's a little too much info dump there.
Yeah. And this for is a your whole
concept, so I can kind of understand why. But
yes, I understand.
Very organic, right?
Yeah, no. And again, putting like this, this I could understand.
Yeah.
And I would fully have gotten behind outside of the bugs because the bugs suck. Literally. I would have understood this if this was at the end of season 3, if this was in the middle of season 2, if they had started this earlier, not after Act Your Age, not after, quote unquote, the last day of summer. Yeah. For folks that don't know, on geekcastradio.com/geekmeter, geek-meter, 3.0.
It's really hard to read out URLs.
Yes, it is. Especially at whatever the hell time it is, 10, 11, midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock.
Past grandpa's birthday. Sorry.
That's right. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
3.0, which is Michael's rating, average, meh, it's not bad, but it's not amazing either. Nothing really stands out, and it's forgettable. There are moments in this that do stand out, and they are good. Like, anytime Doof and Perry, or, like, that, let's go to the, we haven't talked about these yet, let's go to the songs really quick. The songs, which, we didn't even talk about the
There's
songs.
That forgettable part, yeah.
Well, but like the theme song, the Alka Files, that opening intro, I like that. I thought that was great. I thought that was nice and was punched up. It was cool. It was fun. It was whatever.
I had to fast forward it on the second episode.
Well, yes, obviously.
I was like, okay, I heard this once.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the best. Just gonna fast forward.
And that's another thing, and this is something for like a streaming episode discussion of Geekcastria or something. Some of these streaming services, where they place their skip this or skip that, it's weird. Disney Channel, or no, I keep calling it Disney Channel. Disney Plus. So, yeah, Disney Plus sometimes.
It's still the Disney Channel.
Yeah. Disney Plus sometimes does not do skip intro. But what they will do is they will at the very end always, oh, would you like to go to the next episode? Or they will automatically count you down in like, 4, 3, 2, 1, yeah. You're into the next episode immediately right now. Like,
yeah. You can back out of that, though.
Yeah, I know you can, but my point is that the beginning part, whether you want to skip it or not, you need to have more than like a half of a second to choose. That's my point. So
All right, I see where you're going.
Yeah. So the Alkafiles theme song, as a theme song for this, I absolutely love it. As a theme song, if the Alkafiles was going to be its own series after the first two episodes, let's say this got a 13 episode run, because that's usually 13, 26 for a full season, whatever. Let's say this got a 13 episode run to test. I would watch that theme song exactly twice, and then I would skip it every time after that. It's a good theme song. I like it. I might want to catch it on YouTube every now and then.
Would you watch the whole episode, or would you watch two of them maybe and then skip the rest of them?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would watch it from beginning to end, the whole episode, including the theme song for the first two episodes. But after that, I just want the episode. I've heard the theme song. And that's the interesting thing about television today. As much as I love how cool all of the old TV themes are, I have all of those running in my head. I don't need to watch them. If I just want to get to an episode of Knight Rider, or if I just want to get to an episode of Airwolf or A-Team or insert whatever show
that's not actually on Disney Channel, but
you know. Well, but my point, okay, Kim Possible, absolutely it was. But I'm saying, like, any TV show nowadays, you can skip the theme if you've already heard it a million times. Whereas back in the day, obviously, unless you recorded the show and went to bed and didn't watch it until the next day, you couldn't actually skip it. You had to watch it. Beautiful Lunchtime. I don't even remember this song, and I just watched this episode today.
Doesn't ring a bell?
No. They left me standing outside. What the hell?
Oh, what? No, that was sad. So yeah, that whole song.
Oh, they left him.
They made him go to the coffee house, and honestly, when I see Perry, I don't usually think of him as being a jerk, you know.
Yeah.
But here he was a jerk, and he's like, "You get to go over there and sit with your $5 scone and drink your damn coffee." And I was like, I don't think he deserved that. I mean, if anything, aside from blowing up his house, he had done the most on the entire team. Because, you know, you got a hyena that basically just laughs, and you got a cat that doesn't do anything except knock things off tables. And then you got Maggie, who can actually talk, but still doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, so he's actually doing something. And Perry's like, okay, out of this whole plan, you're the guy that has to sit out. And I'm like, why? And then they have this really sad song about him having to sit out. And I was like, huh. And then Doof actually comes in and saves the day and then proceeds to screw everything up. It was, I don't know.
Beautiful Lunchtime is the villain song at the lair.
Is it?
Yeah.
He sang?
Yes.
They let Pee Wee Herman sing. That's cool. What about Friend Like Mine? What was that?
Friend Like Mine is, let's see. That's Carl and Monogram with the giant pink panda suit. Ugh.
They sang during that?
Yeah, you might have sugar, you might have spice, but ain't nobody got a friend like mine. Ugh. Ooh, boy.
That was a song? Okay. I did like Bits of All of Us, sort of, because, yes. I mean, that was true to form Doof.
Yeah.
You know, he practically had the dancing girls behind him.
Yeah, except they were animals, but yeah.
They were animals, but, you know.
Now, see? That. Another thing you could replace the bugs with, the dancing girls. The dancing girls have more intelligence than the bugs.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine an entire B story just of the dancing girls solving crimes?
Hell yes.
When
it
they're
was called
not,
She what, Spies.
What? 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 Where is this? Is that a movie or is that a?
You don't remember She Spies, really?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, wait, was that like something that happened in the show that I don't remember?
No, it was its own show. Oh my god, hold on, give me. Two.
I don't. You're gonna have
keep
to
talking. Yeah, I'm gonna look it
so,
up.
So to espouse a little bit here, you often have Doofenshmirtz do full stage shows where he's got a stage. Like, you know, and there's lights and there's dancing girls and occasionally dancing guys. Right? He's got backup dancers and he's always telling these girls, okay, girls, take five, you know.
Yeah.
But those girls, if they were like a B-side where they were solving crimes.
You know,
I mean, honestly, oh, man, can you imagine Fireside Girls grown up and solving crimes?
Yes.
Holy cow.
So
I'd watch that.
Yeah, exactly. So She Spies is essentially 2002's version of Charlie's Angels. Three female convicted felons who were incarcerated for electronic crimes, Dee Dee, Cassie, and Shane, are paroled from prison in exchange for work as secret operatives for the U.S. government under ComSent. So essentially it's a modern day for 2002 standards of
modern day 25 years ago. Yeah.
I'm saying, like,
they had the internet then. Technically, it was modern.
That's what I said. Modern day 2002 standards of Charlie's Angels. And it starred Natasha Henstridge, Species, Kristen Miller, and Natasha Williams, along with Carlos Jacot, and Cameron Daddio. That's interesting.
So, like, you and three other people saw it? I'm confused. No, I've never heard of this.
There's only two seasons. It was only 40 episodes. It aired on NBC syndicated July 20th, 2002 to May 17th, 2004. There were plenty of people that saw this. Please tell me, folks. Feedback at geekcastradio.com.
See, we need Lucy Liu and Drew Barrymore and that girl from What About Mary?
Cameron Diaz. Technically, that girl from The Mask.
That girl from The Mask. Where is she? What are they doing? I think they're too old to do Charlie's Angels again, but.
They may be too old, but I'm sure
they might
Hollywood
have been too
will
old for that when She Spies did it. What they'll end up doing is they'll end up having like them come back and like say, we need younger agents, and then have Sydney Sweeney come in or something. Or the girls that were in what was that Madam Spider? Madam Web.
No.
Yeah, get them in there.
No, don't and stop.
It's not their fault that movie sucked.
Out of there.
It's not their fault. They didn't write the script. They could pull off an action show together.
Yeah, they might not have written the script, but she's still a bad actress.
To be honest, I didn't watch it. I have no interest in watching it.
I
heard there was like 30 seconds of Spider-Women in it in the very end of the movie, and I was like, huh, this is not a Spider-Man movie. I don't know.
Yeah,
there wasn't even like an after credit scene, you know, end credits of Spider-Man in there somewhere. Like at least Venom had a little Spider-Man kind of a cameo at the end.
Yeah. So Madam Web as a character, not the movie and not the character from the movie, but Madam Web as a character was where I know her from is she was an animated character. Obviously, she's in the comics, but. She got animated for the first time in the 1994 Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Okay.
And the cool thing about Madam Web in that 1994 animated series by John Semper Jr. and other people at Fox Kids and Fox Animation at the time, she was voiced by none other than the late, great Joan Lee.
Oh.
Wife of Stan Lee.
Oh,
so
I was waiting for you to enlighten me as
when that show had its finale, and the finale for that show was Spider Wars, no, Secret Wars. Finale for that show was Secret Wars. And
really?
Yes. Finale for Spider-Man, the animated series, 1994, was Secret Wars.
Okay.
They go to all these other worlds, and we have all these various Spider-Men. Technically, that was the first show to ever do a Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So they do all this stuff, and our Spider-Man, the regular Peter Parker, voiced by Christopher Daniel Barnes that we knew in that cartoon show, ends up going to basically a similar version of New York where he runs into the guy who just basically is, you know, acts like basically Spider-Man the actor. And he ends up... No.
Oh.
Shut. Oh, God. Ugh. No, Captain Kirk was not Spider-Man. That,
no, I mean, Chris Pine was Spider-Man.
I know. He turned off the dark.
something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I know. So in that, at the end of that, before he gets sent back, he's on the rooftop, and he goes to New York because he goes to the Marvel publishing offices. That's what he's there for. He wants to find the guy who created him.
Sure.
And of course, the guy who created him, one of the guys who created him, is Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And they have a conversation.
Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
Back when that was the thing to do. Yeah.
Yep. You got a Stan Lee cameo. And at the end of it, we have this amazing mystical voice. And I'm not going to do it justice because I am not female whatsoever, but Spider-Man, time to go find Mary Jane Watson. And you hear, who is that exotic looking lady? Oh, her? She's my ride. And it, like, I'll have to see if I can find the video on Facebook for you specifically. But on John Semper Jr.'s Facebook, he has video of Stan and Joan Lee in the recording booth. Oh my God. It's so... We always talk about, and we've talked about this for years, folks, on the Geekcast Radio Network, about being flies on a wall in some of these voice sessions of what Transformers, G.I. Joe, whatever it is that we love. Oh, yeah. Man. And having video... Yeah. We can now, but it's one of those things where having the video evidence or having the video to actually be able to see that moment from 31 years ago or 30 years ago, because whenever that originally aired. But absolutely. So cool. So that's, I don't even know where any of that came up, but because you'd mentioned Madame Web.
And
my thing is with Matt, like, when I saw that movie trailer, I'm like, why are they doing this? There is only one Madame Web.
Trampling all over Joan Lee's.
Stop that. Don't do that. Like, do something do something better. Be better. Anyway.
Gee, you're definitely not the same guy I've been writing about all these years.
Well, Stan, we all have to grow up sometime, I suppose. Even us characters of fiction.
Spider-Man. It's time to go.
Who is that exotic lady?
Oh, her? She's my ride. It's been great meeting you. Take care of yourself.
You too, Spider-Man. Farewell and good luck.
Wow, I wonder how I'm supposed to get down from here. I suppose I could wait for the Fantastic Four to drop by and give me a lift.
That's Stan Lee. He's quite a guy.
I think he's truly special.
Well, Madam Webb, where to now?
Face front, true believer. We are going to find the real Mary Jane Watson.
What?
It has been a long, hard journey. And I think you are finally entitled to some happiness.
Amen to that, dear lady. Amen to that.
Phineas and Ferb, 2.5 for me, 3 for you, for the Alka Files. Anything else you want to say before I send it to a quick ad break?
But, oh, I thought you were going to say quick exit. I'm like, yeah, let's head for the exits. I got my legs pointed toward the back door already.
Now we got to pay the bills around here first.
All right, let's take care of that. Pay the bills. You have actual ads? Are you being?
Yeah. Well, I put the podcast
for this. Oh my god! What?
I put the podcast. No, dude, you never listen to our podcast, do you?
I don't know. Not in years. No, yeah, it's been a long time. I used to listen to our stuff.
I know.
Like on my way back and home from work, and after a while, I just
stopped because it sucked.
It was terrible. My voice grates on me. I just don't like hearing myself talk. I don't want it. Do not want.
For the whole of my almost 17-year podcasting career here,
yeah,
I've looked at podcasting as a television show without ads for the majority of the content. So sure. You listen to any podcast today that is not GCRN. It'll start with a two or three 15 or 30 second ads. It'll go into the podcast. You'll get maybe 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes, if you're lucky, of the actual podcast. It'll go to an ad. You'll get another maybe 20 minutes of the podcast. It'll go to another ad. And these are all auto-generated. They don't do any manual.
Yeah, some right in the middle there.
I don't. I spent years, when we were on Spreaker, I spent years manually inserting the ads so it wouldn't interrupt. But I'm saying, like if you and I are talking about certain things about the show and we're trying to make a point,
unless
I'm not going to...
Goth chicks. Well, I wouldn't want to be cut in the middle of that. You know, don't put a commercial in the middle of my goth chick lust. That's just, that would be rude.
Well, it's kind of like, so, you know, you have a point, you have a sentence, you have a beginning, middle, and end of a sentence. And like, I really like this because of this, this, and this, period. Okay. Yeah. Before your response, if you had a response to whatever that might have been that I said, I would put the ad there. It has to come at the end of a conversation. So that's why I built in the ad break at the very end of the overall conversation after we've rated the thing, after we've gotten all our discussion points out.
Uh-huh.
So that way to just tell the audience, hey, here's some other podcasts that we like. Here's some other podcasts that we help promote. Go check their shows out. We'll come back to close the show right after this. And I've done that for years, and I've always done that, and I will always do that. So
that's a good practice. I'll take it. Yeah. I will accept it.
Oh, well, you guys do that. I'll just be back over. All right, well, I guess I'll just be over here if you need me.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski,
Zion Quiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast, Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana! Weep, Ninny-bong!
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content. Till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Imagine a podcast that celebrates the things we love. Why spend time being so angry and cynical about our fandoms? Join me, the Irredeemable Shag, for a show where we're just trying to be happy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast. Our discussions focus on a variety of geeky subjects that we're passionate about. While the topics will be ever-changing, our focus will be on science fiction, comic books, what it means to be a geek in this world, and other nostalgia-fueled ideas. Life is short. Focus on the positive. Find your joy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Hi there, Boss fans. My name is Jesse Jackson, and I'm the host of Set Lusting Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. For the past decade, my guests and I have shared heartfelt conversations, unforgettable fan stories, and deep dives into the lyrics that have shaped our lives. From the passionate debates over sways and waves, deciding on if Mary gets in the car or not, to deep dives from Greetings to Letter to You. We've covered it all because Springsteen isn't just music. He is a great companion on this part of the ride. So grab your suitcase and your ticket, put on your favorite Springsteen t-shirt, and join me for our 10th anniversary year. Set Lusting Bruce, 10 years strong and still making our way to the land of hope and dreams.
Hi, welcome to Up Nerd. What is Up Nerd? Up Nerd is a podcasting network of shows hosted by me, The Uneven Flow. People have told me I like to talk at them about a pretty wide range of topics, comics, games, movies, books, whatever. And now I'll be able to talk at you. Along with the weekly show will be two bi-weekly shows. First, we have Fine You Pick, a show where one host picks a movie, then both hosts have to watch it. Then the next episode, the other host picks the movie. Each show will have a breakdown of why it is that movie was picked by that host, after which will be a discussion about what it is we just watched. Lastly, we have the show Top 3, Bottom 3. Similarly to Fine You Pick, one host picks a television series, and the next week, the pick alternates to the other host. Here, the episodes of the show are chosen by the top 3 episodes and the bottom 3 episodes, as rated on IMDb.com. Yes, this is probably the worst way to watch and review a television show, and yes, that's the idea. On our shows, I'll detail out how you can suggest things for us to watch, you can reach out and talk with the hosts, and maybe even appear on an episode. I hope you'll join me for this exciting new podcast adventure. I swear we're going to make it more than 8 episodes.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talked.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Wow, what a mess. But don't worry, Perry the Platypus. Alka's got plenty of money now. They'll fix this place up before your host family even gets back, and they'll replace all this junk with, you know, pretty much identical junk.
All right, we are back here on the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym. This is episode 107. And before we get the heck out of here, folks, June 5th, 2025 on Disney Channel, and then June 6th on Disney Plus. So, yay, we don't have to wait a year. Yay!
Hey.
So, what they're doing is they are airing season 5, 40 episodes from what I remember. They're airing it on Disney Channel first, and then Disney Plus the next day. This is awesome.
Yeah.
We have a number of episodes. We have air dates up to June 26th. So we got Summer Blockbuster, Cloudy with a Chance of Mom, Appetite for Adventure, and License to Bust. Those are June 5th and June 12th episodes. Dry Another Day. Notice I said dry. Not drive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not drive. I thought you were going to say die. I'm like, you can't say die. It's a children's show.
Deconstructing Doof. Very interesting on that one. We're going to be interesting to see about that. Hopefully we'll figure out why he's returned to evil.
The backstory involved.
Hopefully. And then Tropy McTrope Face. Oh, God. My head hurts. And then something in your fantasy realm, the other episode on June 26th of 2025, Bilbo Blast, kind of like Baja Blast, Mountain Dew style.
Okay. Something about Bilbo.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, South Park already did that.
Yeah, very true. Other episodes, I just don't know when they're going to air yet, so I'm not going to... Well, we'll discuss those once season 5 starts. So I don't want to, which I think we already revealed most of them in one of the other episodes, but.
I think you rattled off all the titles.
I think we did at one point or another, so I don't need to rattle them off, all of them off again. But basically, June 5th to June 26th so far are the air dates for the new season of Phineas and Ferb. So you'll get it on Disney Plus June 6th. 13th, 20th, and 27th. So the summer belongs to us.
It's exciting. I mean, who'd have thunk? 10 years later, they're going to have new episodes. Yeah. They're going to be like Maggie Simpson, just perpetually 10 years old. Ever.
I mean, I get it. They're introducing the show to a new audience. So I understand it, but... I don't know.
I was going to say, is it a new audience? But yeah, they're still pointing this toward kids, but I think there's a lot of young adults that are going to be looking back fondly and saying, oh, I wonder what they're going to do with this now. Because,
and I don't know if I sent this to you or not. I think I did. It's probably gone by now because it was probably a story instead of a reel, but Vincent Martella on Voice of Phineas on Instagram did a reel or a story or something where he's like, "Ooh, Phineas and Ferb season 5. I would voice Phineas for 9 more seasons, 10 more like he basically like you've always said, I'd like a job, please.
I'd like a job, please. Thing. Yes. But in job.
Yeah, but I mean, he has the job. I get what he was going for. Where he was like, ooh, we have season 5 coming. Let's have season 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, blah, 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 blah.
And, you know, conceivably, they could do this for another 3 seasons because they had 4 seasons the first time.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's a lot of gas in the tank on the Dan and Swampy side. I think that they could rattle out probably another two seasons easily, and maybe, you know, squeeze out a third, as long as we didn't end up with another Alka-Files pilot.
Yeah.
I could see this going on for another three or four seasons, because again, it's a new show, technically. Yeah. The old show, but a new show.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of these in jokes, private jokes, little kids that are going to watch it today have never heard these.
Nope.
You know, we're all going to be expecting the yes I am, and the what you doing, and where's Perry? Oh, there you are, Perry. But you know, the kids that are going to be watching it today, they're not going to know what hit them. And nope. Assuming it resonates with kids today, like it did kids from 10, 15 years ago, you could drag this out. I don't want to say drag it out, because that's negative, but you could do this for another 2-3 seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But again, actor wants job.
Make that legacy last.
There's no shortage of actors going, you know what I would like to do? I would love to come back and play this character. It's like, yeah, I know you would, because you want that job. You know? I mean, if my livelihood revolved around jumping from show to show every 6 to 12 months, I would constantly be asking for that next show. You know, yep. And I get it. I'm not disparaging actors for saying, oh, I'd like that job. But again, actor wants job. Yeah, I know. Well, you do. Yeah, I know you would love that, but that, you know, wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, be really awesome at your job. Maybe somebody will, you know, like that next season.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean,
honestly, do you think the success of Phineas and Ferb revolves around Vincent Martella? Could they find someone who sounds similar to Vincent Martella and have him do the job? I mean, not to disparage.
No, I don't know. I would notice a difference. You would notice a difference. The people that have watched the show since 2007, the longtime fans, would notice the difference if it wasn't him.
Look at Rick and Morty. They completely replaced the main guy. I couldn't tell.
No.
The guys that are doing the voice are damn near dead on. I wouldn't have been able to tell you if I hadn't known about the entire debacle that went on with the actor before.
I've never seen the show, so.
Oh my gosh. I almost made another Rick and Morty reference where it's like, oh, we're gonna have 10 more years of Phineas and Ferb, 100 more years of Phineas and Ferb, 100 more, 1,000 more years of Phineas and Ferb. You know, but which is Rick and Morty, season one. But yeah. Phineas and Ferb forever, forever and ever and ever. Just you. That's and me fair. Forever, kid.
And you know, if it go like, so we got the 40 episodes for season 5, and if they do a season 6 or 7, hey, that's awesome. Even if they don't,
that's unlikely. I mean,
okay,
unlikely.
But I understand it's unlikely, but I'm saying if they did a season 6 or 7,
yeah,
that's great. Even if they don't, you still have 5. Look at any animated series that has more than, honestly, sometimes more than one season, but let's just go with Phineas and Ferb. 5 sure. Seasons,
yeah,
over X number of episodes. This show is, outside of a handful of episodes, eminently rewatchable.
Oh, yeah.
Like the legacy that they have, like the show they created, the legacy got, that
they
it.
They say like 8 billion hours of or something.
Oh, I don't even. Views. Yeah.
No, they actually said it. They put it in the tweet. I want to say the one you sent me. It was something like X amount of episodes, 8 billion hours watched, and now they're coming back. And I was like, you know, I believe it, because you can watch this over, even if you've already seen it.
Yeah.
You can go back and watch it again and still enjoy it. There's, I mean, yeah. I get it.
Yep.
There was a point being made, and I trampled all over it. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. Point is that 26, 39, math is bad. But the point is that the show, whether it gets beyond season 5,
yeah,
whether it gets another Candace Against the Universe or whatever, whether it gets another movie, the show as it is today minus a handful. Like, literally, we could do an episode of the top 10 Phineas and Ferb episodes we will never watch again, and we might actually do that episode. But it's one of those things. No, but I'm saying, like, not trying to be negative, but, like, seriously, like, as a helpful guide to people, I think that episode would be kind of cool to say, hey, this is our personal opinion. These are the episodes we think that people should avoid in general, kind of thing. Like Alkaphiles, you can watch it. We're not saying that you shouldn't watch it. What we're saying is that it is not needed.
I'm not sure if Alkaphiles would make the list, to be honest. There's been plenty of episodes where I'm like, I don't think I'd watch this ever again. Well, this is just not a good episode.
You didn't hear what I said, did you?
I did, sort of.
You weren't listening, were you?
I might have been reading something. I don't know.
I said we should do an episode called The Top 10 Phineas and Ferb Episodes You Do Not Need to Watch.
Oh, not you don't need to watch them because they're bad. You just don't need to watch them because they don't contribute to the ongoing storyline?
Yes.
Arguably?
Yes.
I think that includes most of them. What is the ongoing storyline? It's the same story being told over and over and over again. That's the best part of the fun. It's all the repetition. We talked
But no, I know that, but like...
Yeah?
Oh, okay, so it is because they're bad. At least they're bad in our personal opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right. You don't need to watch them because they're bad. Don't watch them. Just
yeah, exactly. You can watch them if you like, but we're telling you, please don't watch them.
I'm trying to remember, like, off the top of my head, what are those? But I can't.
That's why we're doing this episode.
I don't want to do that episode. That's just disparaging. It's just going to bring me down, man.
No.
My vibe. Come on.
It's not going to be disparaging. It's not going to be, we've already, in the last 9.5 years, we've already pointed out all of the negatives. It's just going to be a list, man. It's just going to be a list. That's all it's going to be.
I'm not going back and watching all the episodes.
You know what? No.
I can remember which ones I didn't like.
Well, that's why you go back and listen. Wait, what?
Oh, my gosh. You know
how?
What? Uh-oh. What's going on?
Speaking of reading things, it's funny because I was trying to get the overall...
I can't read. That's just mean.
Trying to get the overall numbers of the episodes for the final count to this point.
Yes.
I believe it's 171 episodes, supposedly. Well, that says only 20. So 40 plus 20. 151. I could be wrong. But I'm in the seasons section on the Phineas and Ferb Wikipedia, and it does actually list a season 6. And I was like, wait, what?
Really?
I get it. I see what they did.
Just so, being wishful?
No. I see what they're doing. So what they did was, when the announcement happened for when Dan and Swampy announced Season 5, Phineas and Ferb, 40 new episodes.
Yeah.
What the Phineas and Ferb Wiki did was they split up Season 5 and made it Season 5 and Season 6, 20 and 20. So 40 episodes, which are supposed to be Season 5, the Wikipedia articles for the Phineas and Ferb Wiki split it up into 2 seasons.
Oh.
Which is weird. Who knows? I don't know. Nobody knows.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I'm not even going to pretend that I understand what's going on at this point.
Nope.
Okay.
Why would we understand anything anymore?
I don't know.
That's right.
Like you said, it's late. We're tired.
Yep.
Summer's almost over.
Summer is over, man. Summer is over and hasn't even started yet. But our summer has come to a close, folks. This is it. Episode 107 is the final episode of Phineas and Ferb, the podcast organization without a cool acronym.
Don't get too excited. I thought you wanted to do a review. Don't you want every top 10?
Yeah, one more
episode at least.
No. There are more episodes. Okay, fine. Yes,
I'm confused.
Okay.
That's just what you four, told me. I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know
yes. What you want to so, do. Yeah, so four, okay. Yes, there are going to be countdown episodes. Yes, we are going to cover Candace Against the Universe, and that is the actual next episode of the podcast.
I forgot How about that one.
Oh, ever.
Yes.
When it Candace Against the Universe is a movie. Candace Against the Universe is Across the Second Dimension. Candace Against the Universe, even though it aired on Disney Channel and it is on Disney Plus, it's a movie. It's a movie-length movie. It's not two 11-minute cartoons. So for me, when I say episode 107 is the last, our summer has ended, meaning that the show, the four seasons, as of now, the show of Phineas and Ferb is currently ended on hiatus, whatever you want to say, until season 5 hits in June. So we are on hiatus break. However, yes, you are correct that there will still be two or three more episodes of Pauka before we get to season 5 in June. But my point in saying that this episode 107 was the final day of summer for us was more so, hey, we're at the end of season 4. We completed the show.
Ah. Okay.
So yeah, that's the point. But yeah, Candace Against the Universe. It spells Katu. What the hell, people?
Katu?
No, Katu.
Katu.
It's hard.
Against the Katu. Katu.
Nice. Yeah, Katu. All right. Any final thoughts from you, sir, before I run through the closing?
No.
You know, folks, usually when I ask him that, he has like a paragraph and a half of stuff, but okay, sure, fine.
I don't think there's anything here that we didn't already discuss. No. It's been a long episode, so yeah, I mean, I feel like...
Is it really? I don't even know. Like,
oh, yeah, you could probably go back and cut a good 20 minutes of this and wouldn't have the episode at all.
Well, I mean, that's what the outtakes are for, but yeah. Oh, crap.
Go out there and move
it. How did
bugs in it, and it'd be better.
Yeah, exactly. No bugs, folks. No bugs. How did my phone falling on my mouse open my Radeon settings?
Oh, wow. Wow.
That was weird.
It's serendipitous.
Don't even get me started with serendipity. Yeah. Good movie. Movie's turning 25 years old next year.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of things that are 25 years old, we didn't even mention Jane Kaczmarek. I just saw it. She was the mom and Malcolm in the Middle, and she was also the voice of Maggie.
Yeah, she was the voice of Maggie.
That is so surprising. Wow. You know, I mean, honestly, for such a good cast, this was just so incredible.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Such a good cast, though. Really? Paul Reubens, J.K. Simmons, Jane Kaczmarek?
Yep. And
Bradley Baker, who is, you know, legendary in his own right.
Yep.
Even though it's Chitters. He actually got to do a range of Chitters here. He had a disappointed Chitter. He had a sad Chitter. I mean, he really got to stretch himself here as a platypus. And if he didn't get to talk.
You're counting all the Chitters, Jesus.
All the Chitters. There's different Chitters. They had a range of Chitters. I mean, actually, every other episode of Phineas and Ferb, I honestly think the Chitter was just like something he recorded 20 years ago, and they just kept using it over and over and over again. It's the same sound over and over and over again. Yeah. They had to give him credit for it because he does like background voices or something, but you know, he's still just that Chitter. But yeah, different Chitters this time. Chitter.
And wow, you just made me feel old.
20 years?
Yeah.
These episodes are 20 years old.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
At least 15.
No, it's close. Well, we're 2 years away from 20. Yeah, we're 2 years away from 20. So. Yeah, we are 2 years away from 20. So we're 18 years into Phineas and Ferb. Oh my gosh. Oh, we're getting too old for this shit, folks.
Sure, indeed.
Yep. All right. Thank you for joining us here on Pauka. There are so ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Plus, we now have a brand new fourth wall store on the website. Visit shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can buy all of our stuff, t-shirts and mugs and other stuff. I don't know what's over there. Steve adds new stuff all the time. You can send email to us, feedback@geekcastradio.com, like I mentioned earlier in the show. You can check us out in all the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter. Yes, I still call it Twitter. I don't care. At Geekcast Radio for the network, at TFG1 Mike for me. He's there, but I don't think he uses it.
I'm somewhere.
I think I mentioned him in something the other day, and I was like, oh, he liked the tweet. Yay, he noticed it. Yay.
I do. Well, I mean, if you mention me directly, if you add me in a tweet, it's going to pop up and I'm going to see it. I'll usually hit like. I click like on a lot of stuff that I see. But the problem is with Twitter is that lately it's been starting to show me things that I don't want to see. And that algorithm knows me better. I've been there 15 years, if not longer. It knows me. It knows what I like. And if it's going to show me garbage that I don't want to see, then I don't need that kind of negativity in my life.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean?
Why do I have the Muppets Christmas Carol song, Know Me Better Man, stuck in my head now?
I apologize.
Yeah, it's your fault. Become a fan on Facebook at facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palco Wish. You'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on Candace Against the Universe. Oh boy.
Hey, I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't watch it. This came out, I want to say, well after the series ended. And for me, it was like, oh, look, they're doing more Phineas and Ferb stuff. And I didn't watch it. I think my kids were older at that point.
Yeah. I watched it and I had a hard time. At the time,
at the time it was hard to watch.
Okay. At the time it was hard to watch. I don't know why it was hard to watch at the time. Maybe because, in my personal opinion, I don't think Candace can carry a whole ass movie. I mean, she doesn't just carry it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's not just there's a B story somewhere, right?
Yeah, but just I don't. There's a huge difference in having Candace be the focus of a whole ass movie and having Candace be the focus of an A story in an 11-minute episode.
Well,
like, it's kind of like this meeting could have been an email kind of thing. Yeah.
even if you look at Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension, it's she still has a whole B story to herself.
Yeah,
you know, and that she carries half of the movie easily. Yeah. I mean, it's technically two Candaces, and possibly even a more interesting Candace than the one we get in the regular series.
That's why it was good. Yeah, August.
I'm not going to disparage Ashley Tisdale until absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
August 28th, 2020 is when Against the Universe released.
Really, though, that was only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So.
Oh, you were saying you were wrapping up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's
another
fine.
Another day.
No, it's fine. I wanted to make sure I got the date right, because honestly, I thought it was older than what it actually is.
No, and that's at least 5 years after the series ended. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that they would come back after 5 years, and it's almost like they're trying to. They were at the time throwing out another pilot, like, oh, maybe this will stick.
You know what? You really think about it.
Hmm.
Oh no!
I'm thinking.
What? Oh no!
We have to spot somewhere. Yeah.
We have to make sure that we refile this copyright for Hot Rod, or else he's gonna have to become Rodimus or Hotshot or
Autobot
something else.
Hot Rod, yeah.
Autobot
Rodimus.
Autobot Rodimus. Rodimus Minor, Rodimus Major, whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point. It's like I don't know
how that would work with.
I'm not sure what the expiration date for copyright is, but maybe they said, oh, you know, if we don't use these copyrights, we're gonna lose them. We're gonna have to throw it out there. It's not like Winnie the Pooh, you know, losing or falling into public use.
Yeah. Public domain.
Public domain. Yeah. It's like falling into the public domain.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to make a second one of those Blood and Honey Part 2.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm kind of excited.
On another sad animation note.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse is
in their infinite wisdom, Warner Brothers.
Yes.
Has removed all of the classic Looney Tunes from Max.
What?
And
from Max.
There's a lot of good
animation stripped from Max, sadly.
Yeah. And they are also going to be supposedly tearing down the old Looney Tunes building on the lot. And I'm sitting here thinking, you Gen Z motherfuckers.
Belongs in a museum.
That's right.
It is a museum. Well, it could
right.
I'm sure there's murals in there. Well, I felt the same way when they tore down the Nickelodeon building.
Yeah, see, that's not...
That place was iconic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in that area, that particular part of California, real estate is scarce.
I'm sorry. If it's the Warner Brothers lot...
Yeah.
Which it is.
Yeah.
What are, like, and those cartoons, those shorts, those characters launched your studio. Without those characters from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you wouldn't be Warner Brothers of 2025.
Arguably, but it's not the same anymore. I mean, animation studios are essentially server farms at this point. And yes, you don't need a warehouse full of people drawing tables, you know, filling in betweens, you know, in order to make a movie or an animated feature.
I understand that. You can use the building for something else. Like, you can still keep the exterior of what the building represents and use the inside of it for something else. That's fun. Nobody needs to see the inside of the old Termite Terrace. Like, as long as the outside remains the nostalgia of where it came from and what it represents. Because who amongst any of us, you, myself, anyone listening to this podcast that doesn't live in Hollywood, California, or isn't a movie star, or
even the Burbank? I mean,
exactly.
Have you even seen this building? I mean, if it got torn down, would you know?
Not unless I saw pictures. But that's my point. Like, just
I've seen pictures, and I was like, I've never been there. I mean, I'm not sure.
I don't know it off the top of my head, but I've seen documentaries of the history of Termite Terrace and things like that, and everything else. And it's like, that's where Chuck Jones and Friz Freleng and Tex Avery and Michael Maltese and all the original animators that actually were before they were all server farms, before they were all automated. Yeah. Like that's where creativity came from. And now in this Gen Z world, creativity. We don't want that. Just have AI do it. Fuck off.
I'm not sure if that's a valid point. I don't think that's true personally. But from a preservation standpoint, if there's something historical in that building that should be preserved, then maybe preserve it. You know, maybe make it a museum. But if it's just a bunch of offices that Chuck Jones sat in 50 years ago, then 70 years ago, geez, then I don't know if that's worth preserving, because that's not indicative of his creativity, you know.
But that's
I would
what I'm
rather
saying.
See like a museum exhibit of all the things that Chuck Jones did, rather than know that somewhere in the world an office he sat in 70 years ago still exists.
Well, that's my point, though. The outside exists. The building, as long as the building is still there, do whatever you want to with the inside. Your idea of doing it as a animation historian, as
I've
a museum,
seen, like,
I think
Chuck
would work.
Jones museum exhibits where it's like, holy cow, this is, you know, everything from Tom and Jerry all the way through The Grinch That Stole Christmas, and you see the original art, and you see the storyboards, and you see, you know, just the amazing creativity that went into it. I don't necessarily need to know that his office still exists, you know, because I've I've seen the output from that office, and it's 10 times more amazing than four walls that he may have occupied once.
But like, oh, okay, so let's just say you and your wife and your boys go out to Burbank or wherever the let's say you go out to California on this, like you want to do this animation historian tour or whatever. Yeah. Let's say the old Termite Terrace building, the old Looney Tunes building, let's say they turn it into a museum. You're going to hear them tell you tales of what was created in those offices. So you need that office building still standing and put a museum in it. End of story. Like,
right, that's an option. I'm not saying it's a requirement. That's an option. I mean, like I said, real estate in there is really tight, you know, and you know, they don't always have the luxury of, I mean, even if you look at like Disneyland, you know, it's like, oh, we have this whole section of park that's going to be demolished so that we can put in Marvel ride or Guardians of the Galaxy or something. And it's like, oh, I'm really sad that they're going to have to tear down Mr. Toad's Wild Ride that I've never actually been on. But you know, hey, something cool is going to go there. And it again, it's like, well, you know, Chuck Jones's old office from 70 years ago might have to go in order to produce something that's going to be meaningful for the next 70 years.
But the problem is, we live in a world where everything is instant. There is no meaningful for the next 70 years in Hollywood anymore.
I'm not sure that's true. I mean,
really?
10 years ago, you would have said the same thing, and yet here we have Phineas and Ferb.
Okay, yes, Phineas and Ferb is an exception, but
what's the next Phineas and Ferb? You know, and will that come out of that new building? Maybe.
I guess.
We don't know.
I guess the world will never know.
I'll know in 10 years.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you all about it in 10 years.
That's right. When we're old and we talk like this.
Oh, I'm already old.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, I'll be watching the next big thing with my kids as kids, you know, on you probably go. On whatever Disney Channel in 10
there
years.
You go. There you go. We'll see. All right, folks, this has been episode 107 of the podcast organization without a cool acronym. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Aging Dr. Olaf. Dr. Olaf, you're wanted at the front desk.
Dr. Olaf, please step off a fucking cliff.
Been impaled. It's not nice.
Good.
He's been impaled. Oh, look.
Good. Just here. Let me hold this magnifying glass up to the sun and have it direct hot death rays onto the snowman.
Death rays.
No, I don't want to build a snowman. I want to destroy a snowman.
But I digress.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we have that.
What the hell is that?
No, I don't know what the hell is that.
No, I was just looking over here. Oh, it's an overlord. Okay.
It's an overload?
No, overlord. I had a huge Transformers box over here, and I was like, that one's really big. What is in that box? And I couldn't see the label, and I came around the side, and it's the overload. Overlord. Sorry. Got two of them. One of them's on my shelf, and one of them is in a box. And it was just in this huge pile. I sent you the picture of that huge pile of Transformers.
Yes, you did.
Goodbye!